If you've been with me during the month of May or any time this year, really, you know that my book for the year is The 12 Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore. He is the founder of Unity. And so throughout the year, we will be focusing on a different power. And our power or gift for May is power. So we've been talking about that throughout the month. And this morning, I want to talk about the power of joy. Think of the concept of joy and consider joy being something different from happiness. Happiness is a new car without payments. But then the new car smell goes away, or the ashtray is full of gum wrappers and it's not so new anymore. Happiness is chocolate cake, but then you eat the chocolate cake and there's no more chocolate cake. Happiness is being with all of you on Sunday morning, but then after we're done, we all leave and go home. So the point is, happiness is more of an experience by experience fleeting kind of thing, whereas joy is a foundation. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. This wonderful little book, Deepak Chopra's book, Power, Freedom, and Grace, and he talks about the difference between happiness and joy. He says, joy is an internal state of consciousness that determines how we perceive and experience the world. The internal source of joy, our connection to our Creator, our source, our inner self, is the cause, while happiness is the effect. In the book, he quotes the ancient philosophy of Vedanta, and the teaching that happiness for a reason is just another form of misery, because the reason can be taken away from us at any time. To be happy for no reason is the happiness we want to experience. In other words, joy. If you've been with us for a while, you know that we as an organization started 34 or so years ago as the New Thought Center for Creative Living. No, actually, we started as Center for Religious Enlightenment, then changed to the New Thought Center for Creative Living. And about seven, eight years ago, after I had been the senior minister for a couple of years, we had a gathering at our house one Friday night. It was the Fun Events team. And there were lots of people laughing and joking and talking, and it was really loud. And the still small voice, which is almost always still and small, but sometimes is loud and forceful in a good way, said, it's time now, you are Joyful Living. And so we changed the name to Joyful Living Church and then Joyful Living Spiritual Center. I love this concept of joy, because what happens in life does not always make us happy. People that we love make their transition before we're ready for them to go. The washing machine finishes its worldly existence or its useful existence in our house. Things happen that don't make us happy. But the opportunity for us is to see beyond the appearances of that challenge and draw on that foundation of joy. I love this quote from Deepak Chopra's book. It's on the front of your bulletin this morning. He says, when our life is an expression of the inner state of joy, we discover an immense reservoir of power within us. This power gives us freedom from fear and limitations, and allows us to realize all the abundance that we aspire to. Even more significantly, this power nurtures all of our relationships and makes them truly fulfilling. We find ourselves becoming beacons of light and love, and our very presence nurtures the environment around us. People are drawn to support our desires, and even nature corresponds to our intentions. Pretty amazing. that all of life, when we come from this foundation of joy, all of life lines up to do whatever it is we've chosen. Think about this concept of freedom from fear and limitations. How much time do we spend in worry? How much time do we spend in fear? What am I going to do if? What's going to happen if? How will I? And you get to fill in all those blanks. How much time do we spend in those thoughts as compared to, I don't need to figure it out. I don't need to figure it out, and we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Joy nurtures all of our relationships and makes them truly fulfilling. I don't know about you, but it's been my experience that if people just acted the way we wanted them to act and do what we wanted them to do, life would be so much easier. Have you found that to be true? And very often we draw wonderful people into our lives because I believe that everybody comes to do the dance with us. This dance called life, and sometimes they do it with us for a really long time, and sometimes they do it for a short period of time, and then we receive the gift that they brought us, and we allow them to move on, and they allow us to move on. But they bring us this wonderful gift of the opportunity to look at life and rules and regulations in a different way. I have someone in my life who is very sure about his views on life and his opinions, and this is how it should be. You should do this. You should do this. It should be this way. He uses that word should, uses it right up. This is how it should be. And if it's not this way, if you don't do it this way, then it's taken personally. What happens when we have someone in our life that brings a different point of view, sometimes carrying a baseball bat? How do we deal with that? This foundation of joy allows us to see that no matter what the situation is, there's something in this relationship for me. What has he come to taught me? What gift has he brought me? You know, the bullies in our lives, and I'll bet you have them. I bet we all have them. I have them. The bullies in our lives bring us the most amazing gift because it gives us the opportunity very often to stand up for ourselves and say, no, I appreciate your concern. I appreciate your interest, but no, this is my truth expressed in love and compassion and understanding. But no, this is my truth. And this foundation of joy allows us to express that in love and compassion and understanding. But no, we're not doing this. Chopra's book says, the more we live in the state of happiness or joy, the more we experience the spontaneous fulfillment of desire in the form of synchronicity and meaningful coincidence. In many spiritual traditions, this has been called the state of grace. Think about this foundation of joy. Keeping in mind, again, that life doesn't always look the way we expected it to. Life doesn't always look the way we wanted it to. But when we allow ourselves to stay in this, standing on this foundation, we know that all is well. Whenever I talk about foundations, I'm reminded of the song we used to sing in Sunday school many, many, many years ago, and maybe some of you still remember it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, but the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and I won't sing it for you, but The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splat. I always like the splat part. Our foundation of joy allows us to weather the storm. It allows us to have those most amazing relationships with people and see there's a gift here someplace and I get to find it and heal what needs to be healed, change my opinion about that person or that situation, but also stand in my truth and recognize that I know what I need to know when I need to know it. This foundation of joy allows us to decide to state an intention for the most amazing experience and know that we are always divinely guided and always supported in whatever it is we're choosing. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. Joy reminds us that there's only this moment. The Greek philosopher Heraclitus, I think, said, and doesn't matter his name because the wisdom is wonderful, you cannot step in the same river twice because new water is flowing in. Do we base our lives on principle or precedence? The principle is that this moment is all there is. It's new and fresh and absolutely jam-packed with possibility. And God, Spirit, the universe, life, our higher power, whatever we choose to call it, always says yes. You want to do that? Yes. You want to create that? You want that new job, that new experience, that expanded income to do whatever it is? Yes. You want to pay cash for that car? Yes. It doesn't matter what happened 20 minutes ago or last week or last month, because principle is always in this moment, always ready to do for us whatever we ask of it. Precedence is, that didn't work last time. Now, see, how do we live our lives? How do we base our future on principle, on possibility, or on precedence? We get to decide. July 31st and August 1st, Pam Grout is going to be with us. She is a New York Times bestselling author of several books, including E Squared. And I'll talk more about this in a little while. We have copies of the book this morning at the welcome table. I invite you to take a look if you'd like. She says in the book that 98% of our 60,000 thoughts per day, we think, and I don't know who counted this, but we'll assume they're right, so because I've heard this from other sources as well. We think 60,000 thoughts a day, and 98% of our 60,000 thoughts 98% of our 60,000 thoughts are repeats from yesterday. They're, the word I like is retreads. It's the same thought we had yesterday. So why aren't we creating something new? Why aren't we creating that greater abundance or that new job or that new relationship or whatever? Because we're dragging that past with us. We're dragging that precedence with us. This foundation of joy allows us to remember that every moment is new and fresh and full of possibility, and we don't have to keep doing that. Just because it didn't work before doesn't mean it won't work this time. This time is new. This time is new and fresh and full of possibility. Joy allows me to decide, how will I tell the story of the person I talked about earlier? Will I label him as selfish and narcissistic? Or will I tell myself and the world that he comes from a place of love and compassion and concern, and this is just how he expresses it? We always get to tell the story. We get to make up the story. It's our story, it's our perception. If the story doesn't feel good, and Abraham Hicks talks about looking for a thought that feels better, if the story we're telling ourselves doesn't feel good about whatever it is, we get to change the story to one that does, because it's always our story. It's always our perception. We don't know what somebody really feels. We get to decide. We get to make up the story that feels better. Joy reminds us that our power is in this moment. In this very room, right here, right now, is our power. The Buddhist teaching talks about mindfulness, and 2 weeks ago, we had a wonderful workshop on Tuesday night with Lori and Cliff, and I thank you again for that, about meditation and the different ways of meditating. I always thought that meditating means you go and sit in the corner and become very quiet and ultimately fall asleep. But there's much more to it than that, I learned, because meditation can be focusing on a color or a design or a sound, but it's or washing dishes, because it has much more to do with where we are mentally and emotionally and spiritually in the moment, and much less on what we're doing. So one of the examples that was given had to do with washing dishes, and if you're standing there with your hands in the warm soapy water, feeling the warmth on your hands, smelling the aroma from the detergent, being in gratitude for whatever that event was that dirtied the dishes, that can be an experience of meditation. If you're standing there resenting the fact that you've got to do the dishes again, and somebody else that was supposed to do them didn't, if you're standing there resenting the big mess that was made, that's obviously not meditation. Joy allows us to be in that moment and to relish and to welcome whatever it is that we're doing and be mindful of whatever that experience is. And when our minds start to go, we just come back. We just come back to that, the joy of that present moment. Joy allows us to go out on a limb, and I'm quoting Edwin Gaines here, go out on a limb knowing that life will grow a tree to support the limb. I love the concept of that. Do we allow ourselves to listen to what the still small voice is saying? Listen to that passion and that joy and that, man, I would love to, and you get to fill in the blank, and not allow limited thinking, not allow precedence to interfere, and say, but what if it did work? What if that did manifest in my life? What if life said yes and that happened for me? Joy allows us to ask. You remember in the New Testament, Jesus is quoted as saying, ask, seek, and knock. And if you come from traditional Christianity, your experience of that might have been more of a begging and pleading and beseeching and hoping for the best. But listen to this from Pam Grout's book, talking about the experience of asking. If you go back to Aramaic, which as you probably know is the language in which Jesus conversed, the root word of ask reveals more than a, well, if it's not too much trouble. Ask in Aramaic means a combination of claim, as in deed to that, the deed to that land is yours, and demand. So claim and demand. To ask for something in prayer is to simply lay hold of what's yours. You have the right and even the responsibility to command your life. Charles Fillmore, the founder of Unity, said, "The inexhaustible supply of spirit is equal to every demand." Now, we don't go out in the parking lot and shake our fist at the sky. in demanding. We do affirmative prayer, as you know. We call it spiritual mind treatment. We do affirmative prayer, which means we accept whatever it is, knowing that life, the universe, always says yes. So we do it in an affirmative way, accepting whatever it is. And this foundation of joy allows us to remember that we can ask, seek, and knock, and then listen for whatever it is we need to know so that we do our part in making that happen. Ask, seek, and knock. If you've been with me the last few weeks, you know we've done a couple of experiments or projects from Pam Grout's book, and there's another one in the bulletin this morning, and I invite you to take this home and do this with me. It's on the pink sheet, and this is the abracadabra principle. The theory is whatever you focus on expands. The question, and we know that to be true. The question is, can I pull things out of thin air simply by thinking about them? In the hypothesis, by making the following intention and focusing on its outcome, I can draw it into my life. Absolutely bottom line, no question about it, principle. Ask, seek, and knock. So what do we want? Now, I did not win Powerball last night. If you did, I'll be around afterwards and I'll be happy to accept your tithe check. We won $4, which is kind of exciting. In this project, and I invite you to go with me on this, be aware that it's done unto us as we believe, and so we might not have the consciousness for $145 million, but maybe we've got the consciousness for $250. Maybe we've got the consciousness for $14,000. You know, I really want to pay off the car. I really want to whatever it is. I really want to get the new job. We can do that because the universe always meets us where we are. So what do you want? What do you want that you can believe is possible will happen for you? And if you have that, if you have that $145 million consciousness, more power to you. But for the rest of us, what can we believe that can happen for us? Because what happens is, and maybe we're just at parking places still, and that's okay. Costco, La Mesa, 4 o'clock, Friday afternoon. Can we manifest a parking place? Probably. That's not hard to do. If there's no degree of difficulty in miracles, if everything is possible, then if the parking place works then for us, then the unexpected income works for us, then the new job works for us, then the new relationship works for us, whatever it is, because the universe doesn't have a list of difficulties. God's not saying, boy, I can do parking places all day, but that extra $10,000, boy, I got to figure out how to do that. That's not how it works. In this foundation of joy, as we see that it works for us always, all the time, we can claim that jaw-dropping, man, experience. And then use that, knowing that it always works for the big things, big being our label, to go to the next big thing in this foundation of joy. So how would our lives look differently? Well, how would our lives look other than the way it looks now? If we consciously created, because we're always creating something, whether we're aware of it or not, our thoughts are creative. Always, always, always. And what we focus on expands. And of course, those 60,000 thoughts that go bouncing through our heads on a daily basis, most of those just go keep on bouncing. But what we focus on becomes our experience. Are we focusing on difficulty? Are we focusing on worry? Or are we staying focused on this foundation of joy that, yes, life is absolutely for me and ready to bring greater than I could have imagined? We always get to decide. Joy allows us to stay in expectation of the next wonderful thing. In Pam Grout's book, she talks about wanting to go from Biloxi to New Orleans. And so you state your intention and you get in the car or you start down the road and you're walking and you're so excited, but then you start to get tired or you start to think, well, Biloxi wasn't so bad. Or you start to regret some of the things that you did in Biloxi. And if anybody's from Biloxi, please know that there's no editorial comment here. And she makes that disclaimer in the book. But the point is, going from where we are to where we want to go, it's so important that we stay focused on where we want to go rather than where we've been. You remember in the Old Testament, Lot's wife got turned into a pillar of salt because she turned around and looked back. And whether you believe that actually happened or not, doesn't matter. The point is, our foundation of joy, our power, is in this moment, in this very room, not in the past. Because it came to pass. So many of the stories in the Bible start out with, it came to pass. That's what happened. That's what happens in our lives. It came to pass. We go through it and we keep walking. We go through it and we keep walking, focusing on this foundation of joy. It was my intention this morning for us to sing. And if you remember from Sunday school, probably, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Had some technical difficulties, so we will not be singing that, but I invite you to remember that in your mind if you do. And if you do, you remember one of the verses says, I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. The peace that passes understanding is this foundation of joy. That we've stated our intention for whatever it is we want, and there are some steps to happen so that it happens. But we don't stay focused on the steps. We don't stay focused on the, boy, that's going to be really difficult. We don't stay focused on anything except the experience of whatever it is and listen. Listen. It's the most amazing thing, and I know you've had this experience. You ask, What do I need to do? Who should I call? Where should I go? Where's an open parking place? What should I talk about on Sunday morning? It's the most amazing thing. I love this business. I so love this business because I am constantly guided in what to do, where to go, what to talk about. It's just the most phenomenal thing. And as it happens in our lives for that, it happens in our lives for everything else. So we get to ask, what do I need to know? What do I need to do? And we stay in this foundation of joy, knowing that we're always told, because life is for us and always says yes. Joy allows us to remember without judgment. And life is the most amazing thing because we watch CBS Sunday Morning on Channel 8, and then they go off at 8:30. We do what we need to do to get ready for church, and then it's Face the Nation. And at 2 minutes to 9, Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation is making his editorial comment, and his editorial comment this morning was about Memorial Day and forgiveness. And what an amazing opportunity it is in these situations, because we're remembering today, we're remembering wars and death and conflict. And what an amazing opportunity it is to remember forgiveness. Wow. On national television. It was just the greatest thing. So in this foundation of joy, we bring this opportunity for forgiveness in every area of our lives, ourselves as well as everybody else. So I invite you to go with me this week and take this home, and if it resonates for you, do the experiment, and I'd love to hear next Sunday how it works for you and what happens for you, because what I know is in this foundation of joy, life always says yes. Of course. That's where we reside. That's our opportunity. So, with that in mind, let's move into the light for just a moment. And in the peace and the quiet of this moment, we give great thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning, to be reminded of this foundation on which we reside, called joy. We allow ourselves to be reminded when things don't look so wonderful, when the answer was no instead of yes, when it looks to be a big mess. We allow ourselves to be reminded of this foundation, knowing that we never walk alone, knowing that we need not judge by appearances because there's always something going on. If you've ever planted a garden, you know that the next morning you don't go out and dig up the seeds to see if they've sprouted yet. You allow it to do what it does. So, in this foundation of joy, we allow the universe, God's spirit, life, our higher power, whatever we choose to call it, to do what it does and bring us whatever it is in a greater way than we could have imagined. And we say, yes, thank you, and more, please. We give thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning, and together we say, and so it is.